Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
On the show today, we have Samaha & Associates' very own Olivia Reynolds and Nubia Valenzuela. They are both here talking about a recent white paper they just wrote and released called How Durbin 2.0 Could Adversely Impact Credit Unions. It's all about the implications of the proposed Credit Card Competition Act of 2023. Olivia and Nubia are here to tell us all about it. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have some fine representatives from Samaha & Associates. Right next to me is Olivia Reynolds. Olivia, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great, doing great. And then right below us is Nubia Valenzuela, also from Samaha & Associates. Nubia, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Glad to have you guys here because today you guys, we're talking about a white paper that you guys just wrote and it's entitled How Durbin 2.0 Could Adversely Impact Credit Unions. So it's basically the implications of the proposed Credit Card Competition Act that we've been talking about for so long now. But I mean, it's a pretty big deal as we all, those of us that were at the GAC recently, we're talking a lot about this and what a big deal it could be to the industry. So, but I just kind of want to lay the foundation here. Nubia, I'll let you go first on this one. Just give us a quick overview on the white paper and then we'll dive into a few details. So the stage is yours.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on
You're
your
welcome.
Show. A pleasure. And yes, we represent Samaha & Associates and we did a quick overview, a white paper of the Durbin 2.0. And a quick overview would be the impact that this is going to have on the credit unions. Well, the Credit Card Act is geared towards those credit unions that are $100 billion in assets.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
those big ones such as Navy Federal Credit Union,
yes.
It will have a down effect on small credit unions. Why? Because if the requirement is a second unaffiliated network, which cannot be Visa or MasterCard, that means it's going to implicate the rest of the traffic.
Yep,
in
yep.
today's environment, the traffic goes one way. It's just one way and that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to add an unaffiliated net additionally to what we have today, I don't know how the traffic will be differentiated.
Yeah.
So that means it implies changes to your infrastructure, changes to the way the transactions are clear in today's environment, which means it's going to impact the smallest credit union because you know, it's not going to have just one-way traffic.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have two different traffics. Additionally, the transactions that clear through that unaffiliated network is going to go somewhere else. It's not going to clear through the network that it clears today, which is going to impact perhaps interchange. We don't know how that's going to be impacted, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, the aggregate volume for credit unions. For instance, you know, if a credit union has a contract with Visa or MasterCard and that contract implies growth agreement and it's tier based on transaction volume. So if these transactions are routed somewhere else, credit unions will be impacted on that too, because that means incentives will be impacted.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Right. So that's just a quick overview. And it was to say the fraud, you know, the rewards. What about if we change to a different network? That means we're going to have to change the chip. That means we're going to have to change or, you know, issue new cards. So, yes, it's a huge impact.
This sounds expensive.
Yes.
Yes.
So just to, to put it bluntly, and Olivia, so share with me some I know there's a lot of implications, obviously, but can you share a few that that Nubia was talking about here?
Sure, Mike. So, you know, we saw with Durbin and Dodd-Frank, the first, you know, 1.0, if you want to call it that, right, is there's now this version 2.0. We saw where we needed to pay close, credit unions needed to pay close attention to the routing of transactions, consolidating the networks, and also making sure that they were in a preferred network space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we still see when we're working with our clients, we still see today some credit unions who have multiple networks plugged into their debit card program and allowing the merchants to control the routing. So you certainly want to take a look at, you know, as this progresses, you want to take a look at the impact that it might have on your non-interest income, right, your interchange.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, you don't want to forget to negotiate your switch fees as well, right? So I think that there's going to be a task that all credit union teams or, you know, executive teams and leadership teams are going to have to look at is the routing. And when they're doing that, understanding what impact that might have on that non-interest income, which then could certainly, one of the other impacts could be taking a look at, as Nubia mentioned, kind of looking at the rewards program and how rich that program is. Because are you going to have to offset some of your interchange loss with the things that we're now providing to our members that, you know, that they enjoy? We're historically low rate with interest rates and even limits, card limits. And, you know, well, those need to be looked at. So I think you're going to have to do a real portfolio review to identify ways to balance any interchange that might be lost through 2.0. So certainly peeling back the layers of the program, like we did with our debit portfolios, will be something we'll need to do for the credit side now.
Yeah. And what I heard, I don't know, I'm not sure if you guys heard this, but I heard even the airlines are behind the financial institutions on this one, because it's going to hurt their rewards programs if this goes through. So, and you guys already alluded to that. So I found that really fascinating. The moving parts behind the scenes, behind this thing, it's a pretty big deal, as you guys well know. And Nubia, can you explain, and once again, just because you mentioned in your response that realistically Navy Federal Credit Union, since they're over $100 billion in assets, is going to be one of the ones that's going to be affected. But what's the trickle down to the smaller ones again? If you could just clarify again, please.
The trickle down would be that one of the requirements is that it requires a second unaffiliated network.
Okay. Okay.
It specifically says it cannot be Visa or MasterCard. Okay. So which means that if we add a new network specifically just that, that means that it's going to imply the rest of the credit unions, because the credit traffic right now goes one way.
Right.
Right. We process all transactions the same way. Yes, you get to choose your network for debit, but for credit, it's one way. Okay. So if that's changed, that means that we're going to have to add something new to the network, which implies changes in infrastructure. Now, if you change the infrastructure, how is that going to implicate the rest of the credit unions, right, if that traffic gets one way? That means smaller credit unions will need to change the way we process transactions today too, which can ultimately impact. It's a trickle effect.
Yeah.
You start peeling the layers out, it can impact the chip, because in today's environment, it's programmed one way, and that's just the way it is. So how are you going to separate only Navy Federal Credit Union's members, you know, versus the rest of the world? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's going to impact regardless. Now, when you talk about contactless, it's a very expensive card. You know, you may be requiring, I don't know how it's going to end up at the end of the day, because it's still out there. It's not final, but it could potentially impact the fact that you need to reissue all your cards. How are we going to change this? It's a big, you know, like I said, if you start peeling out the layers, it's a huge impact.
Oh my God. And especially, like you said, for the smaller credit unions who may not have the resources that the larger ones do. I mean, the story goes on and on. And to me, it's just like I said at the top after your first response, this sounds really expensive, and a lot of work behind the scenes and we could go on. That's a rabbit hole we don't want to go down right now. And Olivia, what's your take on the elimination or reduction of these fees and how they'll be passed on to the consumer? Because we've already saw that in the past when this was done or something similar done, it was passed on to the consumer. It seems like the consumer always gets held holding the bag, so to speak. Yeah. So what's your take on this one?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, one, the consumers, you know, most consumers, right, don't really know or understand or have the time to study this, right? So I think that, you know, again, the rewards impact, you know, you mentioned American Airlines and, you know, some of those richer reward programs, you know, travel, cash back, things like that, our consumers might see a squeeze on those type of rewards so that the financial institutions can support the new act, right? The new 2.0. So I think that's something to be concerned about. I think, consumers, when they're at the point of sale, they're just using their card. They don't understand the things behind it. That's our job to understand that. But certainly I think that consumers might feel it, right? When the first Durbin, again, call it 1.0, debit rewards were impacted. And so it really kind of became like a checking account reward. Do this, and do this equals an additional, you know, dividend. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, in order to avoid consumers getting impacted and, you know, straight removal of a rewards program or higher, you know, charging higher interest rates, mm-hmm. Credit unions are going to look for ways to offset the potential for loss interchange.
Yeah. And I should have asked this at the very beginning. What's the why behind all of this? Nubia, do we know what the why is behind this? Besides the merchants wanting to, you know, get their, I guess, piece of the pie, so to speak. So yeah, what's the why behind this?
Honestly, I don't know for sure what the why is, but I can probably give you a personal point of view on that.
Sure.
Just like we did with debit, obviously debit, you know, was a huge impact to credit unions once they passed the $10 billion and they lost a lot of non-interest income. So apparently that gave the merchants the ability to route to the cheapest, for lack of a better word, network, so they can get more of the money, right? Yeah. So now they're trying to do the same with credit.
Right.
But credit is a whole different thing, okay? It's not that debit is going to your checking account. Debit, it's a whole different thing. Credit card, it's a credit card where you have you lend the funds, correct? So for instance, in fraud, Visa, MasterCard have the zero liability. So if these transactions are routed through a different network, what's going to happen to the zero liability?
Yeah, you're right.
So that means that credit unions will need to tighten their strategies for fraud, you know, because you might not have that anymore. So does that mean you're going to have more disputes? You know, where is this going to go? Mm-hmm. Needless to say, the access to credit. So if you have your non-interest income and you're issuing credits, you know, credit line of $15,000, $20,000, you might have to, you know, revisit those lines of credits because everything's cleared through an unaffiliated network. So your non-interest income is impacted.
Yeah.
So how are you going to balance that? You know, it's a huge impact at the end of the day. Oh. And what I've seen on debit is that although the benefit or the goal was to give the consumer more, I think it, at the end of the day, it didn't happen.
You're right.
Why? Because I've seen, for instance, the big merchants of the world, like Walmart's of the world, the Targets of the world, they have aggregate transactions. So when you have an aggregate transaction, at the end of the day, the cap is not even met. It's less than what the cap for the issuers. So that's a huge impact. So now talking credit, where's that benefit going to go?
Yeah.
You know, if the merchants are routing to through a different network, but at the end of the day, the consumer will be impacted. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the credit lines may be reduced. Because zero liability may not be there anymore, and there's going to be more disputes or ability to charge back an item, perhaps. And what else? So the access to credit, and they can lose the rewards. So they're not going to have the rewards anymore. So at the end of the day,
that's super
impacted. You know what I mean?
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Olivia, I want to get your take too, because I saw you nodding your head too. So I want to get your 2 cents in here, so to speak. Pardon the pun.
Maybe there's not enough going on, right, in D.C.
There's just not enough going on. Right there, Olivia. Well done.
Right. You know, I know they're breaking right now, and there's not a status update because everybody's very busy. But maybe there's just not enough going on. No, I think that, you know, taking a look at what the merchants, and I think that, you know, the merchants are eager to get in there and understand, you know, lower their routing so they can lower and pass that on to their customers. Again, we didn't see that with debit. However, you know, why not go ahead and go after credit? Debit worked and it passed.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that credit unions, and I might be jumping ahead here, Mike, but, you know, we need to stay in tune of what's going on, right? We need to advocate and talk, just like our credit union, friends just did at GAC, mm-hmm. is advocate and start preparing and stay up to date with this, because merchants are going to continue to push and the lawmakers are going to continue to push FIs. And so we have to stay educated on it as well.
Yeah, agreed. Well said. And I know where we are with the Credit Card Competition Act right now. It sounds like we're just kind of in a holding pattern because of, like you said, what you said at the top there, Olivia. There's, you know, there's
always going on.
Always stuff going on, and it's an election year, so mm-hmm. people's priorities are a little reversed right now. But yeah, so if you guys know what's going on out there, that would be wonderful. But I think we all know that it's kind of in a holding pattern right now. Olivia, do you have any idea? Or
yeah, I agree. I haven't seen much about it lately.
Yeah.
You know, as we look and try to find, I just don't see much about it.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. Yeah, same thing.
Status quo right now. There's nothing. Okay. Nothing.
Yeah. All righty. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to the white paper, because there's all sorts of great stuff. And we're just kind of got the tip of the iceberg here, obviously. And there's so much to talk about and so much to do here, even though we're in an election year. But yeah, always good to have your ducks in a row, especially in this case, for sure. So anything else to add to wrap up, Nubia? Any final thoughts here before I let you get back to work?
The only final thought I have is to keep in mind the security. And the security, in my personal opinion, is Visa and MasterCard are trusted in today's environment. So if that's changed, that could also impact.
Yeah,
so.
Very good thought there. Yeah. And Olivia, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, start looking at your portfolio credit union, right? And you need to start forecasting to see if there's going to be an impact. Mm-hmm. You know, start doing that. You know, our credit card portfolios could potentially get an impact. And so prepare for that, I think, is probably what I would say.
Okay, good stuff. All right. Well, we'll probably be having you guys back on here pretty soon once some movement gets going. So I look forward to that. But in the meantime, keep up the good work there at Samaha & Associates. Always enjoy having you guys on. And yeah, we'll chat again down the road, I'm sure. Well done.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you. Great chatting with you.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.